welcome to a Made of Fail production.
Frustrated into the goddamn word for it! This is bullshit!
The Signature Move Podcast. With your hosts, George, Brian.
You are going to find out that we are a perfect combination.
Excellent.
Perfect combination.
Excellent.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Signature Move Podcast. Podcast?
Podcast. Partycast.
Partycast. There we go. It's a party. Everybody's invited.
Except
I'm George.
Russo. Sagan?
Vince Russo's invited.
Does he have to be?
You can make him drink and then draw a mustache on his face.
Well, as long as Vince Russo's invited, I'm Brian.
Okay. Interesting week. Since the last recording.
Actually, like, 10 times as interesting as it was the previous recording, which we had, what, was it last week? We're trying to get back on schedule.
We're trying. We may not, but hopefully I'll have this edited and out on Thursday. That's my goal, because right now, Wednesdays, that's titty night.
What?
That's Turduckinus Tasty Night on Lord Cat's stream, which I am a girl of now.
Oh, okay. Phew. Christ almighty. Like titty night.
Yeah, that's the night I just lay in bed and play with my man boobs. So.
You too. We're like brothers. Hug me, George.
No, that's weird.
Okay, yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we talking about this week? Well, first things first, Night of Champions, the Raw after Night of Champions, where we think things are going, and finally some news and notes that just kind of make you go, huh?
Yeah. Huh?
Huh. So we'll start out with Night of Champions. Neither of us saw this show. I'll just come straight out and say it.
We love you, fans. Please don't turn us off, but we are very busy men. One of us, which is me, is trying to get another job somewhere, while George...
I work weekends. Sunday just, night specifically.
He works weekends. We're sorry if we can't be as reliable as some of the other guys, but damn it, we're trying.
We're trying.
We're getting off the ground.
Anyway, I've seen some clips taken down, and I've seen a few things, so I think I can commentate properly on some of it.
I can just
And we also have a text recap available, which is pretty detailed, so we're going to be going off that, but, you know, we've watched wrestling enough. We can kind of predict where things are going at this point.
It's not really a results show anyway. It's more of a, okay, where are they going to go with this kind of thing. We're not talking about, you know, the results. We're just going to talk about, the future.
The future, where we will all live someday.
In the year 2000.
That was 12 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but Conan O'Brien used to do that on his show, and it was really funny.
Yeah, he also did it after the year 2000, too.
Yeah, that's what made it funnier.
Okay, so, Night of Champions. Well, where do we start? We have a pre-show, which is a battle royal to determine the number one contender for the United States Championship held by Antonio Cesaro, a.k.a. Claudio Castagnoli.
I like battle royales. I just love them, even if they're not televised. The thought of six or eight men in a ring at one time, not over the top rope necessarily, though it probably was, which is kind of lessens the impact.
It's over the top rope.
I don't like those as much, but still, fun.
Wait. You don't like over the top rope battle royals?
Well, there was, I believe there was like a match type back in the old WCW days where they would put four people or like six people in the ring together, and it would be pin, submit, or over the ropes. I could be daydreaming or mixing this with a video game or something, but I could have sworn that there was like...
I don't recall that match type, but I'm not going to doubt it exists, because there's all sorts of crazy matches that people have come up with over the years.
I must just be thinking of Fatal 4-Ways, but anyway, battle royals are still cool, even if they are over ropes.
No, never mind. Sorry. So, it was a 14-man battle royal. The winner being Zack Ryder.
Woo, woo, woo.
You know it.
God, I love Zack Ryder.
Yeah, you might be the only one. Yeah. No, actually, he has a very loyal following, and you know what? Dude's trying his hardest to be entertaining as fuck.
And it's happening, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad Zach won over Tensai.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, as much as I like, I've been caught praising Lord Tensai and his ideal of a character, he's just not been pushed hard enough like Zach has over the past couple of years.
The problem with his push is that I'm not sure WWE really knows what to do with him.
He's a little bit too round to be fitting in that square peg.
Yeah, that
square hole.
And I was trying to think of some way that they could rectify it, but I can't come up with anything. He just doesn't fit there.
Just put him in the games.
Just send him back to Japan. That's where he's making his killing. So, okay.
Him and Scott Norton.
Yep. All right. So, we start off the pay-per-view proper with Michael Cole sitting alone at the announce table. He tells the world about the status of Jerry Lawler, which we'll get into once we get into the Raw post-Night of Champions. And then out comes the savior, the commentator extraordinaire, the former longest reigning WWE champion in SmackDown history, John Bradshaw Layfield, without the limo.
You forgot to mention that he was a wrestling god.
I'm sorry, did you say wrestling dog?
I must have. It must have came up backwards. But yeah, he was more like a wrestling dog than a wrestling god.
Yeah, JBL was really not that good. Now, he was great on commentary, though.
Now, here's the question. He didn't come out to commentary with his man boobs hanging out, did he?
No, he was wearing a suit and cowboy hat.
Thank God.
Same as he does every single fucking time he's going to make an appearance.
Thank God.
All right, so first match is Intercontinental Championship match. The Miz as the champion versus Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara versus Cody Rhodes. Miz won. Supposedly a good match. I've seen some of the clips from it, and it looked promising.
Okay, did Sin Cara get injured?
No.
Wow, that's a first. people bringing their botch bingo was probably very disappointed to get that free space not marked, huh?
No, but apparently Sin Cara is getting in the head of Cody Rhodes, which might lead to something down the line, at least.
So Cody Rhodes, who has metaphorically gotten into the head of Sin Cara, is now getting his head invaded by Sin Cara.
Well, I think he might be getting his head enveloped by Sin Cara. more specifically his mask, because apparently Sin Cara kept putting masks on Cody Rhodes.
That's kind of twisted.
That's brilliant, actually.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm. And anyway, Sin Cara apparently put a mask on Miz as well, so Miz couldn't see, and he gives... he still ends up giving Cody Rhodes a skull-crushing finale and pins him.
Now, here's the thing that needs to happen. They need to do it like in Chikara, where he puts a mask on the wrestler and he controls them. So then they could do, like, the Thriller dance in the middle of the ring. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Never going to happen, though. Anyway, Miz won.
I'm a little disappointed that, you know, it didn't go back to Rhodes, but on the other hand, I think they're grooming Rhodes for, I don't know, maybe Elimination Chamber World Heavyweight Championship shot?
Sin Cara feud still in effect, it seems. So they're...
Well, no, what I'm saying is they don't want to give him the lesser title when they know they're going to start pushing him to greater things.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, they still got to do the Sin Cara feud, but...
That'll be him probably coming out on top of that one, more than likely. When the match comes in the next pay-per-view with Cody Rhodes, Sin Cara, and Sin Cara botches so bad he's out for a couple more months.
Yeah. I don't know, I think they might... we'll get to this. We'll get to this later, but I have a prediction for that one.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Kofi and R-Truth defended against Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Wow.
Daniel Bryan and Kane are your new tag team champions.
Hey, Kane's partnered up with weirder people like X-Pac and Booker T.
Van Dam.
And Rob Van Dam. Didn't he partner with Goldust at one point?
Yes. No, that was Booker T.
Okay. Fucking Kane.
Kane
Why?
Partnered up, and every time, it's the bizarre coupling.
I don't like it. I mean, I like that Daniel Bryan is still getting heat with the tag team champions, and I'm glad that they're utilizing Kane in some sort of storyline, but... It's like everything, whenever it becomes a mid-career point for Kane, whenever he returns back at WWE, they slack off and they just give him the fucking, the joke stick. You know what I mean? They don't stay true to the monster character that Kane actually was and has been. They give him, like, the Kane-a-Rooney or this anger management bullshit. I don't know if they can actually see... If they can actually see that Kane can work as a legitimate threat and monster in the WWE.
They do. They just can't. Look, it's the same thing they're doing. It's the same thing they've done with the Big Show. They can't sustain a monster. They don't know how to ride it. They don't know how to keep a monster strong up until they reach, you know, John Cena and Randy Orton, the top guy. So, when it comes to after the feud, when the monster has been deflated, what do? Well, they do the same thing they did to George the Animal Steel. You know, send him to a psychiatric quack who gives him electrotherapy and tries to boost his intelligence and end up trying to make him a sympathetic character.
Kane's not supposed to be sympathetic. You're supposed to like him because he'll destroy people. Because he doesn't care. He's the big red fucking machine. He's not this anger-managed guy. Now on the hypocritical side of this, I like that they're at least utilizing him, and he's on television with a championship. It's just, I guess I'm sour grapes because it's not how I want it. Well, whatever. That's fine.
Well, you know what? Despite anything they can do in storylines, Kane will still remain over.
Yeah, Kane's not going anywhere, and I think Daniel Bryan ain't going anywhere soon either.
No. rumor has it that Vince likes the chemistry between Bryan and Kane, and he likes the fact that Daniel Bryan has really just grown so much as an entertainer, and not just as a wrestler.
Well, shit, that's good to know. I mean, if Vince gives him the thumbs up, I'm proud of Daniel. He's done it, almost. They just need to groom him into something a little more serious for the World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE Championship sometime in the next 2 or 3 years, and then I would probably be a very happy man. Because then I could say CM Punk and Daniel Bryan both won the WWE World Heavyweight or WWE Championship at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me.
Well, there's one more name I'd like to add that list, but it's probably never going to happen.
Oh?
Samoa Joe.
Damn it. damn it. Didn't they sign him?
Yeah, he was in developmental way back when. But no, he's still in TNA.
He needs to escape. Yeah. He doesn't need to get fired or quit. He needs to escape.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
We have the U.S. title match.
Finally, we had one match before that, right? Oh, Jesus.
No,
yeah, we had the Kane. Oh, no, we didn't. Never mind.
Yeah, we just talked about Kane and Kofi, or Kane and Daniel Bryan versus Kofi and R-Truth.
Right.
They won the tag team championship.
Sorry, so yeah, Antonio Cesaro versus Zack Ryder for the U.S. title.
Uh-huh. Cesaro wins. You know what? I don't know what they're doing with the U.S. title right now. I have no predictions whatsoever. I don't know if they're trying... Right now, they're trying to build up Brodus Clay. I can't... I don't know.
It's a gray area, but I kind of like it in a way. It's good to see them actually taking notice to internet darlings and being like, hey, these people actually want to see these guys come up here, you know?
Yeah.
And,
It's like I said previously, the base for the WWE right now is internet smart. And they're finally realizing it with the Twitters and the touts and all that fun stuff.
Jeez, no kidding.
But their base is internet smart. Their base are pure wrestling fanatics because they ain't getting much mainstream anymore.
They're pretty
WrestleMania.
Yeah. And, you know, I like Claudio Castagnoli with the strap. Zack Ryder, he may have earned it, but in my opinion, from the spot where he was about a year ago to now, it seems like a downgrade.
I wouldn't say that, actually. Considering about a year ago, he was barely on the card whatsoever.
It's already been that long. Wait a minute. It's already been that long? Am I thinking a year and a half ago where he was, like, getting pushed?
No, you're thinking, like, 6 months ago.
Before he got that injury and he was out when Kane came back.
That was Royal Rumble.
Where are we?
We're in September.
That was in... Okay, yeah. So I was thinking back when they had Zack Ryder up in the main event picture alongside Cena and whatnot, actually getting, well, not really main event, but like more like upper mid-card.
Mm-hmm.
He's slowly kind of getting back to that. I like it.
Well, Ryder doesn't have the tools right now to be a main eventer. He doesn't have the right character to be a main eventer.
I don't know. I mean, we got John Cena still pulling his, you know, chain, so to speak.
I want you to think about what you just said.
I can't.
You don't know what you just said, do you?
I don't.
All right. Let me put it this way. John Cena is getting more booze than Kevin Nash Mabel match at SummerSlam.
But why, with Ryder's character at the moment, why change it if it's being successful and charismatic? All he would need to do.
It doesn't need to be changed. It needs to be tweaked, and that's the big thing. It's like, best I can give you is Stone Cold. When Austin was really, really hot as a heel, he had that match with Bret at WrestleMania 13. And then all he did was just slightly tweak his character a little bit so that he was still an ass-kicker, he was still a badass, he still didn't care who the fuck you were, but he tended to focus more on heels. What Zack Ryder needs to do is focus just a little bit less on the comedy and trying to please the fans, and just slightly more, mostly in the comebacks, where he just, it's one of those things where if he, when he makes his comeback, he turns on serious mode, and he doesn't do the woo-woos, he doesn't do the chants, he just focuses in on his opponent, and just tries to fucking decimate him. I think that would work perfectly for him.
I see what you're saying now. I was kind of blanking out for a second there. When you were trying to talk about tweaking, but I know exactly what you're talking about. He doesn't need to pander to the fans as much as he is right now.
Exactly.
He could still be charismatic. He still has that boost if he were to just go in for the kill and work more on his actual technique and his craft and being an actual serious in-ring competitor, while maybe keeping the woo-woo-woos and some of the comedy bits with him, because John Cena still kind of does it. He's still a little bit funny, but he could also turn serious.
Yeah, the problem is Cena is completely written for at this point, and there's nothing he can really say that is going to change fans' minds.
Yeah, anyway.
Unless he fucking turns heel, which at this point, it isn't going to happen.
Alright.
But anyway, we have to move on to Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton, a match where there were no champions at Night of Champions. Well, you know what? Before I go to that, let me go back to the Antonio Cesaro Zack Ryder thing. Apparently, there was a sign, and I love this sign. Cassius Ono is my hero. That is, of course, a reference to Chris Hero, aka Claudio Castagnoli's former tag team partner from the Kings of Wrestling in ROH.
Aww. Feeling the love there.
Anyway, can't wait for Cassius Ono to debut. Hopefully they change his name.
Yeah, that's kind of lame, guys. Just tweak it. Tweak it.
Anyway, Ziggler versus Orton. Orton wins.
RKO.
Yeah.
Anything you really say about this one?
Not really.
It wasn't a title match.
There is one thing I can say about this.
What?
From the clips I saw, the crowd was chanting for Ziggler instead of Orton.
I can imagine. I mean, they were building Ziggler up so much with that win against Jericho, basically kind of like career versus, what was it, career versus something.
Career versus Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, yeah. Does he still have that?
Yeah.
Then, I mean, okay, it's not a Night Champions match, but for Randy to kind of come in there and just apparently RKO him out of nowhere for the three count, you know, they're really starting to kill that steam, and they're trying to build Randy up again. Can you see that?
Yep. And here's the thing. Ziggler is going to keep getting cheered. Ziggler is Shawn Michaels in 1995. Or actually, 94.
Bad guy?
Yeah. What did you say?
He was a heel, and
he was a heel, but he's getting cheered.
Yeah.
He's Austin in 96. Ziggler is getting over just based on the fact that he works his ass off. and people can see that. Orton, he's been on top for years, but he's a terrible babyface. So
there, nothing really else to say about that one except Dolph Ziggler. If they're plotting to put, if they're plotting to shove him under the radar, just so he can come out of nowhere with that Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. Then that would be all right, I guess. But you still have to make Ziggler look fucking credible for that to even happen.
Here's what I think they're doing, actually. Ziggler, they want Ziggler probably, I'm going to guess around maybe Hell in a Cell or the December pay-per-view to cash in Money in the Bank and take it from Sheamus. And that way it builds to Royal Rumble match with Orton, or maybe even a WrestleMania match with Orton. With Orton saying that, you know, he's beaten Ziggler, you know, he has a right to the number one contendership and all that fun stuff.
And then Dolph goes over him.
And Dolph goes over him, because, believe me, WWE is on a very short lease with Randy Orton right now.
I don't know, man. We're going to get into the Raw a little bit later, and it seems to me like they're
pushing him right now just to build him up some momentum so that when he does fuck up in April, which is almost inevitable, they can have somebody who can come in and, you know, be at that spot that Orton would possess. Because,
Usurp him.
Not really usurp him, because Orton will do it to himself. He will do something in a hotel, or he'll get busted again for illegal substance, and he'll be gone. He's on his second suspension right now.
He's a military boy at heart. He can't help himself.
He's a military boy at heart, just not in his feet. That's why he went AWOL.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was I going to say? Anyway, within the next 6 months, Dolph Ziggler is going to be a babyface. Mark my words.
I'd like to see that.
Okay, but moving on. Anyway, Orton won, RKO out of nowhere. Layla versus Eve Torres for the Divas title.
Cool. Next.
Do you really care, Eve? Eve wins.
Do you have anything?
Replace Caitlyn, because apparently Caitlyn was attacked pre-match by somebody. We don't know who. We don't know possibly who. Despite the fact that she probably replaced her in this match. This is one of the most retarded things I've ever seen in my life. This is pants on head stupid.
That's pretty stupid right there. I have nothing to add to this.
Yeah, it's the
Divas. Eve wins. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I don't mean to be offensive to anybody who may be enthralled by us just waiting to get to that the epic, climactic Divas title match. But we don't care enough. We're sorry, but we don't care.
Look, it's a niche market and a niche market, and we're not there yet. But hey, you know what? If you're interested in the Divas matches and you actually care, feel free to email us. SignatureM@ymail.com.
Oh, yeah. Just email us anything you'd like to know. Like, if you like, introduce us to some freaking women's divisions like Shimmer that are freaking godly women's wrestlers. Aside from this dog and pony show. Just want to see girls in skimpy outfits mud wrestling. That's what it is. It's like the one step up from diving into the mud pits with a topless female.
Sorry, my mind was elsewhere.
God damn it, George. Get it together, man. No, I was not asking you to jump into a mud wrestling fight, although I'm pretty sure you would not hesitate.
What, you think I'm a pig?
No, I just think you look very bad in a bikini.
Very, very true. My back hair is Albert-like.
Oh, God! Moving on! Sheamus and Del Rio!
Sheamus and Del Rio! And surprisingly, after the last few weeks, I'm really surprised they pulled the trigger on this early. The bro kick is reinstated, and Sheamus wins.
This is, you know what, I'm gonna be fair about this to this gender now. Does anybody fucking care about Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio at this point?
No.
Fucking no. No. Is it done yet?
No. They're going to hell in a cell.
They're going to hell in a handbasket.
No, that's just SmackDown.
Yeah, fucking shit. Really? Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio again.
Again.
Again. Oh, God.
Oh, let's move on, though, because we really don't want to spend any time on that.
Yeah, we've already said it's useless. There's nothing behind that fucking feud. No,
they're not going to change the title. And Del Rio is just going to spin his wheels for another year.
He's in limbo.
Yeah. And Sheamus, he can't gain traction with this writing team, because he's not allowed to be what he wants to be, which is pretty much an Irish rock.
Yeah, they're doing him pretty good justice shitting in a Mexican car, talking about, you know, tacos going right through him and all. That's just quality writing.
Exactly.
Anyway,
final match of Night of Champions, the one we've been waiting for. CM Punk, the champion, versus John Cena in his hometown. Shades of Money in the Bank from last year.
When the roles were reversed.
Were reversed. Exactly. And it's a tie! It's like kissing your sister.
How was that a tie?
No, nobody wins.
Wait. Okay, I'm not going to ask about the kissing your sister bit, but yeah, nobody won here. Literally.
Yeah. The clips I've seen, very, very good match. As Cena and Punk always do, actually. Some surprising things I saw. Punk busted out the Crippler Crossface.
No fucking way.
Yep.
No way. What'd they call it?
Commentary was off.
Did they just say it was a crossface?
Commentary was off.
Oh, okay.
There was no sound whatsoever. It's just video. So, I couldn't tell you what they called it. Macho Man elbows,
I'm starting to think that CM Punk is kind of like the Shang Tsung of the WWE world.
Well, apparently, because he also hit a rock bottom.
Well, oh shit, watch the news, everybody, we're gonna see Dwayne go down next.
No, that's in January. So, anyway, the finish of the match is, John Cena, I wouldn't call it top rope, but, second rope German suplex on CM Punk.
And still pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal. Both of them had their shoulders down while Cena was bridged, and they both got the three count on while they were both down, which meant that was a tie, and in WWE, a draw means the champion retains. So CM Punk, still WWE champion, which surprised me.
but with his credibility kind of fucking down the drain here.
No, not really.
Swirling the drain. I don't like that idea. If the match was strong, and it was very strong on both ends, from what I can tell when I'm reading what I've seen, it's like, I guess a tie would be the way to kind of, you know, put a stamp on this for now, so they can kind of move it on, keep the feud moving. But it just doesn't outright say who's the better person. And I guess I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah, they did that on purpose because they don't want to harm either guy. Cena has lost to Punk a lot of times.
Actually. And if he were to lose at Boston in his hometown,
mm-hmm.
It would have probably been it.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, not the nail in the coffin. That probably would have diffused him for a while.
Yeah, and I think the idea is still going to be Rock and Cena at Royal Rumble. And then that leads to Punk and Rock at WrestleMania.
I'd like to see that. Punk and Rock at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Well,
because the only other option I can see for The Rock at this point is A, Undertaker, which ain't going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, no.
That's something that I would save for 30, but I don't see Rock and Undertaker going at it. And maybe the one dream match we never saw.
Austin Punk?
No. I'm talking about Rock right now.
Oh. I thought you were talking about...
No.
I thought you were talking about Cena, Rock and Punk.
Well, no, Austin's out. Austin's knee is fucked. He just had knee surgery. He's going to be out until past WrestleMania. So, he's not even going to be able to be medically cleared until past WrestleMania.
Wow.
And I really do think he's actually done. We're not going to see Cena Austin. Or Cena Austin. We're not
going to
see
Austin.
Punk Austin. Ever. Maybe interactions, but that's it. But go ahead.
Interactions would still be cool. That would be nice, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But the other option, and this is very, very much a long shot because he said he's probably not coming back. Rock HBK.
Would they... I like the idea more of new guy, old guy going at it. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
The legend of the past and the star of today as opposed to, like, two guys we've seen kind of go at it. I like the idea of Rock and HBK because I'm pretty sure both of them could bring it hardcore. It's like damn guys, make something else a main event match aside from two guys we've seen in other places before, kind of hog the spotlight. I like HBK. I like HBK to death. But I would more rather see HBK and Punk or CM Punk and The Rock before The Rock and HBK.
Okay.
It's just my personal opinion. I love all three of those people, even The Rock to some extent. But, you know, my personal opinion on that kind of stands. Sort of like
I don't completely agree. I'd love to see Rock HBK because I think
they
pull some amazing shit out of their asses. They're still able to go. They're still creative. So
it would be cool to see, but it's like another part of me is going, well, I'd also kind of like to see them helping new talent get brought up. And nothing
And also, the only other thing I would add is that it's a match that has never happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's that spectacle of what if that you can really add to that match.
A dream match that has never really been able to...
And it's not like they haven't added, like, fucking ancient people to matches before. There was the gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17, also known as my bathroom break when I went. There was Triple H Undertaker for 2 years in a row. There was Triple H Shawn Michaels for 2 years in a row.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Shawn and Flair. I mean, there's always a spot reserved for the legends. And I think Rock, HBK, could fit that mold.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, and then you could still have the Undertaker match, which, at this point, Lesnar, who do you put for the Undertaker? Or do you just leave him off the card this year and let him heal up?
Lesnar?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready this year. I don't think he's ready for the next WrestleMania. He hasn't been on the card, period. He's been injured, hasn't he?
Taker or Lesnar?
Lesnar. He's been injured for a while. Or has he been injured? Or he's just not been on the card?
He has a limited number of dates on his contract. And they want to use that surreptitiously. Which is why they signed Heyman to be with Punk for a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Alright, something, my mind went, did a flatline for a minute there. I can dig that. Yeah, Heyman and Punk deal, and I do understand the limited dates. We talked about that before.
Yeah. Like I said, we don't know the exact number, but it's between 11 and 20. So
that's a pretty vivid, vague amount, I suppose, but gotta have it.
All right, so let's move on to Raw.
Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. And Raw begins with a great news announcement.
I'm waiting.
Actually, wait. Did it start with that? No. No, yeah, it started out with Michael Cole updating everybody on the status of Jerry Lawler and breaking the news that Jerry Lawler was going home to Memphis that night.
Oh, yeah. Well, if not, was already in Memphis.
Probably was already in Memphis, so. But still, great news. Glad the King as well.
Oh, yeah, very, very relieved that he even touted. That made my heart somewhere in that dark, dark place that I like to call my heart, where it's reserved for the touts. It made a little shimmer kind of come out of light.
Shook loose the Cthulhu tendons?
Yes.
Yeah. I meant to say tendrils there. That would have worked much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Lawler's fine. He will probably wrestle again, according to doctors.
Good. I mean, that's good.
Yeah. WWE will probably never have him wrestle again because, holy fuck, look what happened last time.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, Raw began with a clusterfuck of Heyman, Chad Patton, the referee who was officiating between Punk and Cena. Cena, Alberto Del Rio, and AJ Lee. Not much was said except for, hey, guess what? Cena's ankle's injured. Which is legitimate, actually, because he tweeted a picture of his ankle after the match. And it looked like mine last week, which was about the size of a baseball. So,
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Did you have a pretty hard match, too?
No, but I had 3 days of walking to do, so.
Ah, that does make sense. So what'd they say? They pretty much said,
there was going to be a title match. You can't have a title match. I want a title match. You can't have a title match.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. That's what it was.
After Cena came out, that's what it was. Before that, it was, Mr. Patton, you made the right decision. You made the right decision. You made the right decision. And if you keep saying it long enough, you're going to eventually convince the audience that maybe he made the wrong decision, which...
Just a little bit.
Nobody in the audience agreed with. But, so anyway, Cena wants a title match. Del Rio wants a title match. AJ comes out, makes...
Does she want a title match?
No, I think general manager trumps pretty much everything right now.
You know what? I want a title match now.
Okay. You can wrestle my toilet to see which gets my shit first.
All right. Wait. It's not funny. Okay, maybe it is. But anyway, don't they make a tag team match for later tonight?
Yeah, Sheamus and John Cena versus Punk and Del Rio.
All my favorite never foods.
So moving quite fastly along, because this took up about 20 minutes. JBL came out, and also followed by, surprisingly enough, Jim Ross.
It was awesome.
It was awesome, because it's good to see JR back. And for the record, JBL will not be back this week, or probably next week either.
Ooh.
He's actually climbing a mountain in Africa.
Another mountain.
He's trying to do 7.
This dude.
Yeah. But Jim Ross will probably be back. So we get Cole and Ross, which... We get Jim Ross!
That's like getting sweet and sour chicken, and you're like, at least I got the sweet part of it.
Anyway, first match of the night. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Primo and Epico. And how fast have the Carlito boys been just dropped?
Obviously not as fast as you think if they're apparently still curtain jerking. Dropping would be dark matches.
Technically, they're mostly dark matches.
Yeah, they're...
The problem is they're actually a dedicated tag team. And they're trying to make Mysterio and Sin Cara a tag team. So.
And you know what? They look good as a tag team.
Yeah.
Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio all the way. Who win, actually, for... did they win the number one contender? What? No, it's just a match.
Just a match.
Good. I like that. A luchador mask team. Let's do it.
Yeah, up until WrestleMania when they're going to have them break up and feud and Sin Cara turns heel. Anyway.
Don't tell me those things.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
I know, just let me be blissfully ignorant.
Well, they're not going to turn Rey Mysterio heel.
Oh, they have before. Don't you remember that stable in WCW?
We're talking about WWE now.
Oh, that's
actually
right.
He has common sense.
Oh, that's right. And you're right.
Yeah, moving right along. Primetime players attack the Luchadors from behind after the match.
Cool.
And they're going to war over the number one contendership for the tag team titles. Which, after having finally seen the titles and having a close look at them due to Daniel Bryan and Kane, why would you want them? Those are the ugliest fucking things I've seen in a while.
Well, to be honest...
Oh, never mind. I retract that statement. Because Eve came out next.
Okay, yeah. About to say... Actually...
Yeah. Yeah, second match, Beth Phoenix versus Eve.
Eve wins.
Yeah, speaking of getting jobbed out, has Beth Phoenix won a match in the last 6 months?
I want to say no, because it's probably the right answer.
Yeah.
So,
moving quite fastly along, Brodus Clay versus Heath Slater. And hey, guess what? The Drunkadactyl returned.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw her coming out, and I was like, wait, isn't she supposed to be incarcerated?
No, she's suspended. And that suspension was finally lifted. It only lasted like 15 days or so.
Good for her.
Yeah, you get busted by the cops, you only get a 15-day suspension. Meanwhile, you get caught doing something that a doctor prescribed to you. 30 days!
Neat. Or if you do something that was actually a booked action, 90 days.
Yeah, true.
Neat.
Yeah.
Justice. I like it.
Remember, a tie always goes to the loser.
Fuck.
Anyway.
God. Let's just move on. I'm starting to hurt. I'm in pain right now. Like, really?
Sorry.
Good. Brodus Clay wins,
and it's Antonio Cesaro versus Brodus Clay. They're not changing the title. They're going to have it on Antonio because, what's her name's hot?
Sure. Oksana?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's go. Okay. Forget Oksana. Jesus, really?
Anyway, Ms. TV.
Woo! Woo. No, that's...
It did nothing.
It wasn't a Piper's Pit. It wasn't a Jericho...
Highlight reel?
It wasn't the highlight reel.
It wasn't the Peep Show.
Just no.
No. Anyway, he interviewed Booker T. Shit happened. Nothing.
And that's all you can really say is just nothing.
Oh, actually, there was something.
There was something?
Yeah, apparently they're ready to push Ryback to the next level and have him feud with Miz.
Oh, good. Good.
So, Miz is the Raven of the WWE right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Goldberg.
Fucking Goldberg.
I had to think about that one for a minute. Like, what? Oh. Yeah. Anyway.
Match 4, Santino Marella versus Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler wins. There's a little bit of storyline, actually, that they might actually build off of, where Vicky stole the Cobra. Well, actually, Ziggler stole the Cobra from Santino, tossed it to Vicky. Vicky kept it away from Santino. And then after the match was over, which Ziggler, by the way, used 2 zigzags. He didn't have to. He could have just did it once and got the pin, but he decided, I'll do it again.
For good measure, just in case.
Yeah. And then Vicky stuffed the Cobra down Santino's throat. You know, that when I say that out loud, it sounds really dirty. Gesundheit?
No. I was going to say something, but I stopped myself.
Okay.
Vicky Guerrero stuffs the Cobra in Santino's mouth. Vicky Guerrero stuffs... Okay, fine, sure. What the fuck? So, if you lose the Randy Orton, the next logical step on the rung, because the guy right under Randy Orton is your guy you're going to fight, is Santino Marella.
Apparently, yes.
Do the WWE Raw writers have something like a priority out of whack somewhere? Because when I think Randy Orton, the Viper, I guess the next thing I should be thinking of is the Cobra, right? Or am I crazy that I don't think that way?
Okay, apparently somebody has a fetish for snakes on the writing team.
I'm tired of snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Triple H, you know, he was always obsessed with the trouser snake.
God damn you. And your fucking jokes.
You're welcome.
Trousers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. All right. So.
Wade Barrett versus Justin Gabriel. The Nexus finally collides, and nobody cares. Wade Barrett wins. Knockout elbow, actually, which I kind of like. It's a little bit different.
That MMA-style elbow. Yeah.
And, you know what? It wasn't a squash match, at least. Gabriel at least put in an offense. So, you know.
I mean... And I like the idea that they had him and Justin Gabriel go at it. I remember watching that match and being like, damn, they're actually doing something. They're not just having Barrett come out and kill Gabriel like he was like nothing. Even though Gabriel isn't really around anymore to be considered a...
I think he just got back from injury, actually. Same with Barrett, too, though, so...
So they're kind of starting...
Yeah, they're starting fresh with both of those. Let's see. Oh, God. Next up, the Subway segment.
Nope.
So, in order, we had... R-Truth and Kofi Kingston... Jared from the Subway commercials. Yes, you heard me right. Damian Sandow, Zack Ryder, Ryback. Haha, feed me more. And he takes two sandwiches. The fuck were they trying to do with this? Sell Subway? Did their advertising fall short for a pay-per-view?
Now, George, you know how close the WWE has been in conjunction with the Subway Corporation. Did he really say, feed me more?
Yes.
Excuse me for one second. Okay. Yeah, I feel a little better now.
Yeah, you know, R-Truth and Kofi Kingston? They took three sandwiches.
No, they didn't.
One for little Jimmy.
Okay, so the next segment is Sheamus backstage trying to cheer John Cena up, but they're being a tag team and all.
Yeah. It's like nobody remembers that Sheamus once beat John Cena for his WWE championship.
Like most of us did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's also like they don't remember that, you know, there was a previous segment where, you know, Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk are in the same locker room and nobody remembers that Punk kind of beat Del Rio for the WWE Championship. that he currently holds.
Yeah, like nobody else did.
But anyway,
Lawler should turn home. Yeah, got to see him come to Memphis. That was cool. Next match, we have Daniel Bryan and Kane versus Kofi Kingston and R-Truth.
Rematch from last night. Guess what? Rematch clause almost never works. Kane and Daniel Bryan still tag team champions.
I still say that's an excuse to sell pay-per-view matches on WWE television like they did in WCW. For basically, you know, free cable television. The rematch clause. Sometimes it works, but most times it doesn't. And you end up either seeing something kind of like what you saw the night before again, but for free. Or, I guess, in those rare occasions, you get to see a match that ends up being fairly good and the title actually does change hands. On those rare, rare blue moons. But yeah, Kane and Daniel Bryan retain. I don't even want to say what they did when they retained. I'm fucking still killing myself over the Ryback segment.
Shh. Believe me, it's pants on head. Anyway, match 7, Randy Orton versus Tensai.
Again.
Tensai got buried, pretty much.
Again.
Yeah, so Randy Orton wins. Oh, this is when we get Del Rio and Punk in the same locker room, and Otunga and Heyman argue over, you know, what are they arguing? Who should lead the match? That's
okay. That's a legitimate argument. Excuse me. I'm just gonna go back to ripping out my soul, hearing Ryback sell Subway.
Feed me more.
And he takes 2 sandwiches, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Fucking!
Well, I mean, when you're dressed like that, how do you not expect a guy to take 2 12-inchers?
Oh... Okay. Fuck. Okay. We're done with that. That never happened in my head.
You had to picture it, didn't you?
Yes. Stop it. Get away from me, gay thoughts. Okay.
Okay, we had Damian Sandow versus Zack Ryder. Sandow wins. I don't know what they're doing with Sandow right now, so...
Obviously, they're burying Zack.
I wouldn't say they're burying him, but they're... They have their layout for the next half a year, and just Ryder doesn't fit into it. I think if there's an injury... he can probably be the first fill-in they call in. But right now, I don't think they have... They don't really have anybody they feel would... God damn it, I lost the word.
I just think the writing staff is a very confused individual as a whole.
Well, considering there are multiple people...
You know, my theory actually was that one person would not, or like, there'd be 5 people on the writing staff. Just like, I'm giving around a ballpark thing because I have no idea how many people are on there. And they all each own write their own thing, and they kind of like submit it to the teacher. And the teacher just reads half of each every one of them, you know what I'm saying, and just throws it together. That's why it doesn't make sense, but that's kind of how... I mean, like how the stories don't make sense, but that's kind of how I think of, you know, the writing staff at the moment.
That'd probably be an accurate representation. Final match of the night. Cena, Sheamus, Punk, Del Rio. Cena and Sheamus win, even though... Punk had his leg under the bottom rope.
But the victory still goes to John Cena, Sheamus.
So.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess they're trying to build up. This might have been due to the fact that Cena had to have elbow surgery the next day.
Oh, yeah, because that finish pretty much was Sheamus heavy.
Yeah.
So basically, if I'm reading this correctly, actually, I saw this match, the end of the match, actually. If I saw that correctly, it looked like to me that they had a lot more Sheamus out there during the finish, and they had Cena come out first and do a little bit of roundabout than they did just Cena throughout the whole match.
Yeah.
Good, which is all right, but then again, it's Del Rio and Sheamus again.
We're not going to get into that one more time.
Yeah, my lungs hurt too much.
Yeah. So, what do they do with the World Heavyweight Championship? They're building up Ziggler.
Good.
They're building up Ziggler, they're building up Randy Orton, so they can have a one-off match. What are they doing with the WWE Championship? Like I said, I think it's actually, no, let me hear what you have to say about the World Heavyweight Championship first.
With Sheamus and Del Rio?
Well, at least with Sheamus.
Because honestly,
he's not going to lose it to Del Rio.
Well, no. Honestly, I think you're having the right idea here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking as a WWE writer, they like to kind of pull the trigger on things a little too quickly. I don't think it's going to wait till either WrestleMania or Royal Rumble at all. I think they're legitimately going to have probably a couple more pay-per-views, if not this next pay-per-view, where they're going to hint at, you know, Ziggler mm-hmm. going after Sheamus for that Money in the Bank spot again.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's, I don't know how they're gonna pull it off because he lost to Orton, but won against Santino like that's some big feat.
Well, Santino is a former 2-time Intercontinental Champion, former U.S. Heavyweight Championship.
But he's, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking that's the wrong way, but he did get a win over Santino, and if he keeps on this winning streak, kind of like, I guess, if he does get a rematch with Orton, why ever that would be, and he actually does beat Orton a non-title match, he can move on to Sheamus if Sheamus is still holding on the World Heavyweight Championship in the future. And I don't think they're going to wait to WrestleMania for this. I think they're actually going to pull the trigger on this pretty soon, maybe before next year rolls around.
I would actually say they're pulling the trigger on this at Hell in a Cell.
I'd like to see that. That would be good.
If I had to guess, I would say it'd probably be a triple threat between Del Rio, Orton, and Sheamus. In the Hell in a Cell match itself. And even if Sheamus retains, out comes Ziggler, you know.
Taking out the pieces, and then you got Ziggler.
Yeah.
Doing that angle, which is cool. Yeah. He's that kind of guy. Sheamus is a huge motherfucker, and Ziggler is kind of a smaller version of that. But he's a more technical guy. He plays the weasel quite well.
Okay.
So, yeah, as long...
Unless that gives you the rematch at... tables, ladders, and chairs. And then you can move on to Orton at Royal Rumble, and then whoever... Well, we'll see what happens in Elimination Chamber, because I'm not quite sure of the SmackDown main event right now. I think there are a lot of things in flux.
SmackDown in general is in flux.
Yeah. But anyway, WWE Championship, rather... CM Punk, like I said, I was surprised they had him retain at Night of Champions. I really thought they would have gone with Cena. And that way...
Yeah.
That way they can go Cena Rock at the Rumble, Cena Rock 2, and then Punk Rock at WrestleMania. Now? Maybe they still have Punk lose at Hell in a Cell. But if he doesn't lose there, he's not losing again until WrestleMania.
Honestly, if I would, I'm not gonna do like I did with the Sheamus thing, and I'm gonna kind of like flip flop here with this. If I was writing for the WWE, I wouldn't have CM Punk lose to Cena at all in the upcoming few weeks. And I know what this is all building up towards is gonna correlate into another rematch between Cena and Punk, where Cena wins finally. I know this is what's gonna happen because you know. It's already shaping up to be that way with how Cena had Punk pinned, both shoulders are down on the ground. Still, he had him pinned for the three count. It was enough implication that if his shoulders were just up, it would have been Cena's win. Though again, with Punk and Cena, it's like two warring things. It's hard to really put a pinpoint on this. If I were smart, I would not have CM Punk lose again until actually I'd just keep him retaining that title until he gets his until WrestleMania against The Rock, and then you know who knows.
Well, here's the problem. Rock gets his title shot at Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, Royal Rumble I meant, yeah. Sorry.
So you have Punk lose at Royal Rumble?
Would I have Punk lose at Royal Rumble? That's a very hard question. You have The Rock, which, you know, it's The Rock, and then you have Punk. No. Logically, no. I would actually have CM Punk go over.
Okay.
Think about it this way. The Rock went over Cena. Mm-hmm. CM Punk's been going over Cena, too. Right. Logically, if we're going to put any sort of logic into this, I would say that CM Punk has a better chance against The Rock than John Cena did that particular night. If he keeps going on the high spot of what he's been doing. That's just my opinion, though. Now, I wouldn't say it would be a complete squash match where just CM Punk just wastes him, but I mean, it would be a close finish to where the ending would probably be CM Punk winning. This is just my speculation, though, too.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on. We got a quick couple news and notes. I know we usually save that for what the next episode is going to be. But this one's pretty special because it's kind of a follow-up to one we did that was posted as we are speaking today.
Today.
So, Tammy Lynn Sitch, a.k.a. Sunny, a.k.a. the first real WWE diva, last week was arrested on three separate dates.
1 week.
Yeah. For basically abusing her boyfriend.
Nice, Sonny.
Physically.
Wow. That poor bastard. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed at that, but wow.
Yeah, you don't want to laugh at it, but you can't help but.
Sonny, what were you doing to him?
Yeah.
Baby, come on.
Anyway, after all three, her total bond was $28,000.
No matter how much you try, you're probably not going to get that boyfriend into pegging. I am sorry. If you don't know what that is, don't Google it.
What's that?
If you don't know what that is, don't Google it.
Charges included strangling her boyfriend, disorderly conduct, and violating a protective order.
Wow.
Anyway, Sonny had just gotten out of WWE rehabs, or WWE-sponsored rehab, rather. And now she's headed right back in.
Oh.
This is after, before she went in, she was reportedly guzzled 2 gallons of vodka in a day.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't do that. And I weigh much more than Sonny. I weigh much, much more than Sonny. So, yeah. So anyway,
Dude dating Sonny, I'm sorry.
Huh?
Dude dating Sonny, I'm sorry. Sonny, please get help.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, she's back in rehab, so hopefully she can finally figure out what the fuck is wrong with her.
Yeah.
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 Do you think that eating X-Pac shit infected her with the stupid?
I don't know. Ask China.
Okay. Brian, anything you want to bring up before we leave? Did you finally remember?
I'm thinking. The gears are turning. I know I'm missing something. And as soon as this is going to go off and I wake up tomorrow, it's going to be like, this is what you missed, dumb shit. If I miss anything, if I remember, I'll tweet it, y'all. You guys know, at JobberBob, just, and, you know, you can follow George at Rossetti, R-A-E-S-E-T-I, at, you know, at Rossetti. So, follow us if you're listening. We're fun.
And also, if you have anything you'd like to say about wrestling, or if we suck, or if we're great, feel free to write in. We're at signaturem@ymail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, thank you for doing this on such short notice. I know you got to get some sleep.
Yeah. Everything's starting to look like a slope now, because, you know, like I'm over the hill and I can see the bottomless. I'm tired.
Yeah, me too. Well, I forgot to end this with this last time, but like I said, you know how to contact us now. Again, it will be posted relatively soon, hopefully Thursday, because I'm going to try to get this back on schedule. In the meantime, thank you for listening. This has been a Made a Fail production. I'm George.
I'm Brian.
And good night. Good luck. And hopefully the boogeyman does not come to get you.
I'm the boogeyman, and I'm coming to get you.